Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you fired?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Long dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
With respect to the balls and that there was obviously an issue with the balls.
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I choose the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days, one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is an ISIS. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I need no one speaking for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, blowing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I grab it, I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up, zip those up, and lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect.
Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
And now that'll be stuck in your head all morning long. 98.5 Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. 6:04. And let me just talk about the back and forth, the massive swing of a pendulum that I was made aware of last night. So I get a text from Dan. I texted him yesterday afternoon, Dan, our producer, the great Dan O'Brien, and I said, hey, Dan, I know that Fred is out tomorrow, so who's going to be filling in for Fred? And he
said, Dan looked at that on the beach and said, who cares?
Dan O'Brien said, F this guy. And so I got a text. He goes, hey, Roach is in for tomorrow. And I said, Dan Roach, awesome. My mom will be elated because my mom is a huge fan of Dan Roach.
Oh, nice.
And
well,
so,
who isn't? Well, the age of 60.
Well, listen, she fits the demo for the Dan Roach fan club. And my mom could be the president. So then I got a text about an hour later. And it said, oh, by the way, Adam Jones is in for Fred tomorrow, not Roach. And I said, well, that's just one massive mood swing of seismic proportions. You went from Roach to Adam Jones.
Yeah. Honest to God, could you get another 180-degree turn like that anywhere?
Six in one, half dozen in the other.
Honest to God, think of any two people you know and try and find opposites like that.
Maybe we just have you read Dan Roach's tweets this morning.
Oh, can we do that?
You want me to
That'd
do that?
Be great.
Yeah, and try to find something negative out of the thing, because he was ultra positive.
A lot of exclamation points last night.
Like, all weekend long, yeah. He was...
Was he taking in some Cape games? What was he doing?
No, he was just, like, all Red Sox. Like, massive... And there was also, like, a couple stories, like, and this is what sportsmanship's all about.
No. I have to thank the guys who paved the way for me. Bob Lobelli, this whole thing. Yes, you have to read some of those tweets.
I think what we can do is I will take five of his tweets, and I want you to find fault in each one of them.
That'd be great.
Just call it crushing Roach's dreams.
Seems easy. Seems very easy.
And then when Roach is in later on this week, I'll have him read five of yours and try to find the good.
Great. Out
of it.
Oh, good, I good, good. Love right. this.
We'll call it, like, you know, sunshine to your darkness. And, you know, so.
No, it's called Storm Front Moves In.
Sure. I mean, this is just going to be called, like, crushing someone's happiness. So maybe we do that later on. I'll find five of Dan Roach's sunniest tweets from this weekend. And there were a lot of them.
Yep. Perfect.
And I want you to find fault in it and just crush any kind of impressions that he had and happy feelings.
All right.
I think the Dark Knight would do a perfect job. The sports vulture will take care of that in no time whatsoever. So we do have the Dark Knight with us this morning. I'm glad to have Adam Jones. It's a pretty interesting morning, especially because I know that you guys last week when I was gone had Mark Leibovich in.
Yep.
We wrote that new book that it comes out today. Mm-hmm. And since a lot of people this weekend in the press finally got it, I'm reading some of the excerpts. And I didn't have many expectations for this book. This sounds like it's pretty good.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to blow. Not even just here in New England, which there's a lot of interesting stuff in New England. It's going to blow the lid off a lot of stuff across the league.
Well, of course, if you hate Roger Goodell, this is going to be porn for you. I mean, it makes him look like an idiot the way that, of course, many people in New England have viewed him for years. But it also makes the Patriots. There's one person, especially just from the excerpts that I've read, that comes off the worst, and that would be Robert Kraft. I mean, you know, Brady, all of these people gave him access, except for Bill Belichick. Like, that's the one thing that he said. When he did an interview with Dan Shaughnessy over the weekend, Dan Shaughnessy said, I can't believe all these people let me in for like 4 years. They talked to me. He has like 4 years worth of exchanges with Tom Brady.
He was like Brady's email buddy.
Oh yeah. They went back and forth, and Brady kind of, you know, told him some fairly personal stuff. And I know that, you know, the Krafts let him in as well. And he was asked, do you feel like you're betraying these people? Because they don't come across as that great. And he goes, no, I mean, I just wrote what they told me on the record, and there may have been situations where people came back and said, well, now I don't want that on the record. And he goes, well, you can't really do that. You know, so there's some things I think that people said and then regretted it maybe a little bit later before the book came out, and it's all in there now. But it's supposed to be a fascinating read. I mean, just from the excerpts that I've read, I had no expectations for this. I mean, what more are we going to learn? And to be quite honest, I was kind of sick of it. But there's some new stuff in there that's interesting, especially the Brady stuff.
It's confirmation from some of the stuff we were all curious about beforehand.
Sure.
And that's the thing. Patriots fans that had been in denial after hearing the first story, the first wave of criticism towards the Patriots organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, there's no friction between Kraft, Brady, and this pretty much confirms it. It's an independent second source. Patriots fans who read this are going to have to wake up and kind of face the reality that all is not perfect in Foxborough.
And the funny thing is that, you know, and this has been discussed as well, but I mean, does it even matter? As far as like the product on the field, like, does it matter? And we know that obviously there's, you know, some shortcomings. I can't wait to, I want to find out what all week long Scott Zolak has been teasing about there being some massive Golden Tate quality wide receiver coming in a trade.
But they didn't sign him already?
Yeah, no, Golden Tate is not here yet. And so no, I just did you hear him on the broadcast?
Of course. You know, like Chad Hansen?
Or who's the other guy?
The first Michigan, second Michigan receiver.
Amari Darbo or something?
Yeah. Darbo. The second Michigan receiver ever to play with the Patriots Tom Brady's been there.
Well, there you go. So those are the two guys that are going to save
Jones.
Things.
Jones is going back in his mind. Is Wallach right? Yes, no, Wallach's right.
Who was the first?
Some guy was here like the first year Brady was here as a backup. Hmm. They haven't had a Michigan receiver here in like 15 years. This guy's the second one.
Oh, well, how about that? Instant. Then they're going to have an instant.
Go ahead, Jones. Type away. What if you can find it.
What a stat.
That is a not needed to be looked up stat.
Like if, Jones if just wants to make me look bad at this point. That's all this is about. This like, is Jones really. That Jones is living to do the Tony Romo here.
Like honestly, it's that's a situation.
Keep looking,
where it's like,
Jones.
Who cares? I don't care. I don't. Does it matter anything if this is indeed the second whatever you said?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, all these poor people in Hampton Beach.
I know.
These poor people. This is awful. I mean, it's like a truly awful story. Like someone died.
But yet, by the way, Patriots and Jones, see if you agree with me on this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to completely just like 180, but I just saw a picture of some guy being interviewed at Hampton Beach.
And then, the Legionnaires' disease is in full force, apparently.
Oh, yeah, it's
just
it's
in
awful.
Hampton. Okay. But no, the Patriots bringing in a wide receiver, that has never been a good idea at this point in the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd have to.
Or within the last two, I mean, you saw it happen with Eric Decker, and Decker. On top of all the drops in camp,
yeah, I mean,
people
just...
who watched him said he would go look, talk with Brady, work off to the side, and then they'd get in a scrimmage, and he'd still run the wrong option route. It's a really tough offense to pick up if you're not at OTAs, if you're not at passing camp, if you don't have a full summer to get assimilated.
Well, right.
So any guy, if you bring in Golden Tate, granted he's a great talent and he's been very, very good the last few years, but I don't know if you can bring in a guy, because you need a guy to be an impact receiver this weekend.
Who's the last guy that they brought in?
That's the
thing.
That
was as good as a Golden Tate, and that's the tease we've been getting.
But if you bring in Golden Tate, there'll be a learning curve of at least a week or two. I mean, you're not going to have full. Golden Tate's not going to catch 8 balls for 125 yards this weekend. Not going to happen.
So you're saying it's a bad thing they bring Golden Tate in?
No, I'm saying right now, for these 4 weeks, you need a guy. You need a guy to step in. Philip Dorsett is your number two receiver. It's always a good idea to bring in a talent like that. But A, what do you have to give up for him? And B, how long is it going to take before you're able to utilize his talents in this offense?
Well, right. So you're talking about bringing in a Golden Tate type. You're not talking about bringing the two guys they signed or claimed.
No.
Okay, so that to me is a little different. That depends on, you know, what offense they were in. That depends on, you know, the familiarity level with Brady, if there is any. But yeah, generally, guys don't come in to this new offense and thrive. I think we even saw that with Cooks last year. Cooks, I wouldn't say thrived. I think he put up numbers.
It took him a little bit.
Yeah, I think his numbers didn't tell the whole story, though. Like, I think he and Brady didn't have the chemistry. I think if you watch them week in and week out, that was apparent.
Cooks had great numbers.
Yeah, the numbers were great. Agreed. But I think if you look at some of those comeback routes and things, I don't always think that Brady and him were on the same page.
Plus, he's not one of those guys that'll go over the middle and fight for a football. He's more of a go route type of guy.
He just doesn't get enough credit, man.
That Miami game, I think, was a great example. Maybe it's sort of picking and choosing here, like a standout poor example, but like that, they were just not even close to the same page. So his numbers were really good. I would not knock the numbers, but I think even he's an example of a guy who struggled a bit. There are Randy Mosses. Some guys come in and are great year one. Wes Welker, guys like that. But generally, yeah, it takes a while to get on the same page with Brady, which is why it wasn't ideal that he skipped out on OTAs.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Make sure you listen on our app that we've got running now. It runs sounds exactly like the station. If you download it, it's the 98.5 Sports Hub app. I know a lot of people have been asking, which app do I use? Just that one. Just search 98.5 the Sports Hub. There's a million different apps out there. That's the one you want to listen to. It definitely gives you the best product. All right, we'll be back with everything that happened last night, including a really unbelievably inefficient pitching performance that somehow resulted in no runs.
You didn't give up any runs. What's the problem?
They only had to use 48 pitchers yesterday, but I guess
they were all spectacular, weren't they? Yeah, the bullpen was great.
Yeah, Joe Kelly was fantastic once again. We'll get into that and so much more right after this. All right, the C-Band.
We're going to have the C-Band. Are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Hutcher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes today. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends October 15th, or while supplies last, for game, peace, and official rules. There you go. So, it was an interesting day yesterday. Hey, look, it's that guy that's not Dustin Pedroia.
And a 1-1. And there's a line drive to right. That's down for a base hit. Martinez in. Marlowe coming around. He will score. That is one hot bat right now from Ian Kinsler. And he delivers. The biggest hit today, and the Sox are up 5-2.
That is Nesson, Ian Kinsler, who was brought in on July 30th to replace Dustin Pedroia in every way except for the Sullivan Tire commercials, has finally come into his own. He takes care of business. The Sox win 8-2 over the Braves yesterday. Ian Kinsler drove in three runs, and he did his part on the offensive side. However, on the other side of the ball, Nathan Eovaldi is hysterical. So despite a scoreless 3 2/3 inning start, he needed 38 pitches to record three outs after giving up three walks in the first inning. So at the end of the third inning, he had already thrown 71 pitches, which means, and Wallach, did I count this correctly, seven more pitchers came in after that.
Yeah.
Brandon Workman, Stephen Wright, Joe Kelly, who of course barfed up a home run because that's what he does.
Ryan Brazier.
Okay.
Who wasn't much better.
So you had Ryan Brazier, then Heath Embry?
Yep.
And then Matt Barnes?
Yep. Yes.
And then Craig Kimbrell to top things off.
Yep. Kimbrell, yeah.
Okay, so that was an eight pitcher game yesterday.
Needed the closer, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because you flat out don't trust anybody else to get three outs.
You're probably right, but so that said, Eovaldi did not vomit on his shoes, so that's a win?
It was a dice K game. That's the first thing I thought of while watching him. And we're all getting old sitting there watching him. And he was pitching on 2 days rest because he got lit up on Friday night too. Mm-hmm. And the Sox are out of starters now with Sale and Price both down. So they sent him out there. I was just happy he didn't give up any runs. It took him forever to get there, but the fact that he didn't give up any runs is a minor win.
Yeah, that first inning was like watching paint dry.
It was awful.
So this is what September baseball is. You know, and there are pennant races, which is great. Not that the Red Sox are going to have one, but when you have 40 guys on your roster, you can have a quick hook with Eovaldi. He threw whatever it was, 80-something pitches.
86 and 3 2/3.
3 3/3. Normally, I would think if you have a more limited roster, you try to get him at least through the fourth inning.
Sure.
Maybe bring him back out for the fifth. You use seven relievers. There were however many pinch hitters in the game yesterday, three or four. It's just this is what September baseball is. The games slow down. Managers have unlimited roster moves just about, so, you know, you get a game like yesterday.
Yeah, well, here's Ian Kinsler after the game.
I'm just trying to do what it takes to win, help the team any way I can. I'm sitting in a spot where there's going to be traffic in front of me and guys on base, two outs, guys in scoring position, whatever it is. You know, I'm just trying to impact the game, and today it was nice to do that.
So the Red Sox, they just keep owning the National League. They've won 23 out of their last 27 games against those teams, and on top of that, the Sox are now at 95 wins. They continue their series against the Braves tonight at 7:35. And Dan O'Brien, a super producer, I think you and I need to tag team on this because there's somebody that we need in studio on Friday. There is a gentleman who is going to be doing apparently a big signing over at some autograph signing. I think at McGreevy's. I could be wrong, but I'll have to double check.
Ooh. Ken Casey from the Dropkick Murphys?
Well, I mean, listen,
he owns the bar.
He serves drinks there. No, that would be the one and only.
What if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you?
Nice.
Are you going to go get security or you going to do something right there?
We need Hacksaw in studio.
Sure.
We have to get Hacksaw Johnny Gomes.
You don't think he'd say yes to that in a second?
I would think so. I would hope so. All I know is that, okay, so
what's he promoting? A book?
Oh, hang on. Let's see.
He has a book?
No. He's doing a signing. Just like, it's at McGreevy's.
You got a bat. You got a baseball card.
Should write a book, and then some other guy should write a book after that, fact-checking all the things that Johnny Gomes says in his original book.
Like, it's can't have a book.
The book's just called You Didn't Wrestle a Tiger. The true story of Hacksaw Johnny Gomes. And, you know, so, I mean, listen, I'm already going to give them a plug here, okay? So this is going to be at McGreevy's. It is. I was right. And it's this Friday. And Johnny Gomes is going to be signing stuff. And you got to pay, of course.
How much does it cost for a Gomes autograph?
Okay. Well, it's not outrageous.
Again, it's priceless. I get that. But they have to put a number on it.
All right. So you can, for a baseball hat, or no, a baseball. If you want to sign a baseball, how much do you guess? It's not outrageous.
25.
That was exactly my guess. Yeah.
$30. Okay. $40 for a premium item, which I don't know.
What's a premium item?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you'll sign your bicep. An inscription for $10.
See, this is kind of gross.
Gross?
Yeah. He's charging $25. I don't know what this means, but it says if a Boston Strong inscription. I thought Boston Strong.
That kind of gross. Okay.
That's a little gross. Because that was about, because remember, we all know that in 2013, there was this kind of cool thing that was going on with the Red Sox after, of course, the marathon where, you know, it was like, put it this way. However you want to tie it, that was a cool run that they were on. And they won the World Series after that happened. And even as cheesy and as opportunistic as you can, the most sarcastic people or the most pessimistic people could make it, where they went to the finish line with a jersey, I still think at that time it was it was appropriate.
It was appropriate. It fit. It was the right thing for that team to do. I mean, Houston did a similar thing with the flooding last year.
Sure,
right? So,
sure.
I mean, I don't think that was opportunistic by the Red Sox.
I don't either, but I've heard people call it that.
This feels opportunistic.
This feels a little gross. Yeah. If that's what it is, it doesn't describe what that is. Maybe it's to sign the cover that he was on. Remember, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and it said Boston Strong. Maybe that's what they mean. I hope that's what they mean, because then that's a little different. But if it's like him signing the words Boston Strong.
You mean it's not all about him?
Stop it.
Here's why I want Johnny Gomes in the studio. First of all, because it's Johnny Gomes. And because, you know, we'll be completely honest with the things that we've said, and I'll bring up all the stories, is because I think it's going to be a great interview. And the reason being is that look at the guys we've had in here before that we've completely tooled on. The worst being Cornrows Boy.
Arroyo.
Arroyo. We made fun of Arroyo for years. He came in here and was awesome. Like, everything we told him, everything we had said about him.
He sang you a little tune. He played some Pearl Jam.
Yeah, he actually did.
Really? I think it was Stone Temple Pilots, though, wasn't it?
No, it was some country song. It was some song I'd never heard before. But he was great.
A deep cut.
Like, by the end of it, like, I was like, anytime you want to come in here, it'd be great. He came in here and he, you know, joked around with us about the stuff we'd been busting his balls about. And he had some great stories. I have a weird feeling that if we got Johnny Gomes in here, one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to be like, you know, kind of roll with the punches, or he's going to be such a douchebag.
Right.
Then it's going to be wonderful.
He's going to headbutt a window or something like that. Yeah.
See, I think it's going to be the former.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think he's going to come in here, and it's actually going to be kind of fun, and we'll play him the Hacksaw Johnny Gomes, so we'll do all, and we'll have him address, you know, when he apparently went up to Ken Rosenthal and instructed him on what to ask him after the World Series. Like, you see what I mean? It's like, these are all things that I want to present to him, the story about him wrestling the bear or tiger and all that crap. And I want to hear what he has to say. And I have a weird feeling that he's going to come across the other side looking a hell of a lot better than most people expect him to.
I bet he'll be good.
I bet he'd be great.
Do you, at least interesting. Do you like him on Nessun?
I find him funny on Nessun.
So
I find him incredibly cheesy on Nessun.
People hate him.
No, you see, I don't hate him.
I actually think he's not half bad, which is a compliment coming from me. I actually think he's okay on those broadcasts, and like, people viscerally really dislike him on those.
See, I get excited when he's on it because I know he's going to say something that's kind of cheesy or funny. And you're right, I don't hate him. No, I find him entertaining. And I guess that's what you need. I guess if you're Nessun, that's what you want. You either want, either way, love, hate, you find cheesy or whatever, you want people to tune in. And if Johnny Gomes is on, and you're right, the morning after a Johnny Gomes game, we get tons of tweets.
Yeah,
saying,
people are like, he sucks. Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's not, you know, the Eckmaster, you know, who's, you know, got this super cool flowing locks and talks about, you know, back in the day when he was a crazy single.
Well,
and
he calls a fastball cheese.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to look past that. You're now you're belittling what he's doing. I hear what you're doing. You can't knock the Eck, all right?
Oh, my. Jones, your secret's out. He's on to you.
See, he calls it cheese, so he's a really interesting listen.
Admit he's the best one in the booth.
No, he definitely... Nessun's booth?
Yes.
Yes, that's... Yes,
by,
he is.
By far, admit he's the best one in the booth.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I will not... You know, obviously, Remy's going through a lot of stuff right now, and I understand that. But I do prefer him... I've always preferred him over Remy.
100%.
Always have. He's the best guy in the booth. However, when Remy's in there with Dennis Eckersley, it's even better. It's like Eckersley makes Remy better because they start telling stories. And then Dave O'Brien will just come in and crap all. He'll just like cut him off. And you're like, shut up. Just get out of the booth, nerd.
No.
You know, just let these
get
two
out of
talk.
The booth, who you
needs,
dork.
Right. Who actually needs Dave O'Brien? Like when those two are in there, it's like, I don't need you to tell me what a strike was and what a ball was. Just let these two talk. I don't care.
Someone needs to explain the very complex lingo that Dennis Eckersley has. So O'Brien can do that for us because we can't figure it out on our
own.
Don't
crap him a man, Eck. Do not crap on him. All right, 617-779-0985.
We'll get to Bill Belichick being Bill Belichick to the press yesterday and so much more right after John Wallach's headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones in this morning, and I don't know how it's possible, but every person that's a friend of mine on Facebook apparently went to the Pearl Jam show two nights ago. I mean, like, everyone. Like, it's like every other person that is a friend of mine, as I'm scrolling through, had a picture at the Pearl Jam show. I didn't know they could fit that many people in there.
Relatives, college buddies, Bronson Arroyo.
You know what? There was, from everything I read, and Mike Lockhart in the other room went, there was, I don't think, any players on stage. No, there were none. I think they just brought like a dude from Buffalo Tom, I think, on stage to do
just Peter Gammons.
Rocking on the Free World. No, I'm sure the Gam Man.
First guy I thought of, Peter Gammons.
The Gam Man was in town. Is that the guy's name from Buffalo Tom, Bill Janovich? Okay, well, I guess he came on stage, and so I'm actually going tonight, and I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them since the Versus album was out. And the one thing that actually got me
Really?
Yeah, I haven't seen them a concert since then. Huh. I've always been like, you know, a pretty big Pearl Jam fan, but once they passed like Vitalogy, I wasn't really into the albums as much. So when they would go on tour, I'd be like, well, they're probably gonna be playing new stuff. So I was looking forward to it because my wife really likes the new stuff. And to me, I've been indifferent to it. So when I saw the set list from the other night, it's almost like this tour is making, it's like the apology tour for the last time they came. Because I saw the set list from last year, and it was like, I don't know any of these songs.
Right. In the last 10 years, you're like, right. I don't want any of this.
It's
crap.
Like, here's track 9 from Backspacer. And I'm like, I have no idea what this is. However, like, the set list from two nights ago, I think they played like 9 songs off the 10 album, which Ooh. I am in. If that's what they're doing, and they play like State of Love and Trust off the single soundtrack, a ton of stuff from Versus, Vitalogy, good. Sounds great. This sounds like the We're Sorry We Played All Those Songs You Didn't Know tour 2018. I am completely cool with that. Here's the only thing that sucks is that I have my draft tonight, and I didn't realize it was going to be the same night as the Pearl Jam concert.
Tough.
And I thought I was going to be fine. I thought I was going to be okay with it because I'd spoken with people who've, you know, drafted on their phones and everything went well. However, like, my son is in a fantasy league with his friends, and this weekend we tried to do it on our phone, or it was on my wife's phone, not mine, and we couldn't do it. It was like the reception was awful, and he ended up drafting one person he wanted, and then, like, you know, it went all auto draft after that. How effed am I at Fenway Park tonight? How bad is the cell service? Like, I can't remember, like, having to use my phone, you know, drastically. Oh, or, like, I've never, like, I don't really tweet a ton of pictures when I go to Fenway Park or anything like that.
That's a good question. To do a draft, I mean, I don't know what kind of...
You got to have pretty good cell
service. That's what I mean. Like, it can't be spotty. No. I bet you're probably going to be in trouble. Just get a proxy. Get a draft proxy.
What is that? I don't even know.
Get somebody to stand in for you.
Somebody to do it for you.
No, I can't. I mean, listen, the only person I would, like, trust that with would be, like, Mike Lockhart in the other room, and I'm not going to ask him to do that. And
plus, he's helping me with my draft tonight, so he's busy.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So how much is that going to suck? Like, is the cell service, like, bad?
Does that Wallach double up?
I swear to God, as a guy who tried to post a lot of pictures of Billy Joel one night at Fenway, I had a real hard time doing it. So. I think it's going to be.
I'm living the life.
It's really going to be difficult. Yeah, here are my seats from behind the Red Sox dugout. And that speck over there is Billy Joel.
Look at me. I'm the youngest guy here.
Yeah. Not even close.
So, yeah, your draft live from Fenway sounds real iffy.
Well, because, okay, so I remember years ago
on your phone sounds iffy anyway.
Years ago, there was something I had to do, or I was at, like, I was at a Bruins game. And this was, once again, years ago. So cell service has gotten better, and also the arenas have gotten better. And I couldn't get through for anything. Like, I was trying, I forget what it was, but I just remember thinking, I can't post anything because everyone's trying to get through at the same time. And since, once again, as I said, everyone is on Facebook at the Pearl Jam show because everyone was posting, like, is this going to be a pain in the ass to try to live draft on my phone at Fenway tonight. So everyone's got their cell phones out.
And this concert's something you want to go to, right?
Yeah.
You said your wife's Pearl Jam.
He hasn't seen them in how long?
You can't miss Pearl Jam.
94.
He's been missing them for 2 decades. Yeah, of course he can miss them.
No, he can't miss them. This is one of those times. He's got ticket.
Let's go to Dan. Let's go to John on line one. John has got some inside info. What's up, John?
You are screwed if you're going to try to draft at Fenway.
Is it that bad?
Well, you know, you had to do the mobile ticketing. And they tell you to download it to your Apple Wallet, which I'm pretty tech savvy, but I couldn't do. So I'm like, there'll be plenty of cell. And I get there, and I got my 13-year-old son with me, and I can't get my tickets to pull up. It's just spinning and spinning. It was insane, dude. And then they're like, oh, yeah, go to the box offices, you know, like a help table. Forget it. It was like a herd of cattle because they put the set time says 6:30. And everyone's trying to get in, and then they got, you know how hard it is to get in the Fenway gates anyway? Well, they got, like, 2 metal detectors, but then it goes down to 1, like, phone scanner. So everybody had to put their phone in it, but, you know, I was just trying to get some pictures and stuff up on Facebook, and it was...
And you were stuck. All right. Well, John, put it this way. I've switched my phone service provider since, like, I've had that incident, so I'm kind of excited because it's faster. However, I've been that jackass before at a sporting event whose tickets were in their phone, and I couldn't pull it up.
Ugh.
And I've learned, like,
that
since
tent sounds like hell, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it sucks.
That tent sounds so bad.
It sucks. Okay, let's go to Mike on line 2. Because I've been there, and I couldn't pull it up on my phone. So now what I've done is I've learned that you screen cap your ticket little scanner thing, and you can do that in the weigh-in. All right, Mike, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Is this Rich?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Rich, you're a little off base on your Pearl Jam because – it's not a makeup tour for the last set list because true fans stay with them from day one.
I'm not a true fan.
I know you're not a true fan. I know that. But to rip on the band, and Fred does it too, just because you don't like the different catalog of songs, it's not fair to us true fans to really dig the band.
Hey, Captain True Fan.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Captain True Fan. That's not what I'm saying
at all.
I like
no code.
Listen, jackass, because I happen to like the early ones. I'm not ripping on the band.
Wait. Why am I a jackass? Because I'm just speaking up for my band. Like, I mean, you like music like you, too. They play the same set list all the time.
No, actually, they don't.
Any of those songs? Well, you're not going to hear any of those songs tonight, buddy, because they don't do the same set list 2 nights. It's not like this mediocre band who does the same set night in, night out.
Yeah.
You better get your facts straight before you call me a jack. I'm just defending my band. I love the show. I mean, you guys are great.
Get your facts right, Rich.
Okay. Because I love the band.
Mike, I was out of line calling you jackass or whatever I called you. But you are a hump. You are a hump when it comes to this band. You're allowed to be sick about one band.
Fine, and I'm being like too cool about it. But I'm just saying, like, if you're expecting to hear those songs tonight, you're going to be disappointed because they're not going to play half of those songs.
So they never play the same song too. I understand that. I know they switch it up.
Every few songs they'll play. You may hear like Black Alive. You may hear a couple of those. They may have a couple. Doubles, but very rarely do they play the same set list every night. If you look at the history of the band, they're almost like the Grateful Dead, different set list every night.
But Mike, you believe this, because I've always had a theory about bands that play like sports arenas. Like if you play Gillette or you play something the size of Fenway, there is a rule. And that is if you're going to play a place that big, you owe it to the people who show up to play at least 80% hits. Now, if you play a smaller venue, like you maybe even, how many people does Fenway hold? Is that
35K?
Okay, 35K. But if you play a place like TD Garden that's a little smaller, I think you can play new songs or whatever. You have every right to. But if it's a huge, like arms wide open, everybody come in, then you owe it to, because with that many people seeing a show, you should play 80% hits. Don't you agree, Mike?
Well, not really, because the other true bands, like, they don't do that. It's
Jesus, stop with the true fans. I'm not.
But that's when you start getting into Jimmy Buffett and Cheesy Eagles category. They play the same song night and night. Those bands suck. The worst bands on earth.
How dare you say that? I'm a true fan of the Eagles and Jimmy
Buffett. Eagles are the absolute
You're not a
worst.
True fan.
But I'm just saying to you, just because they play Fenway Park, real fans go, I'm not saying you're not a real fan. I just go back to that.
I'm not a real fan. I told you that. I like the first three albums.
This guy's the worst.
They shouldn't change their the way they roll, because most of the fans who go expect different cuts. So the fans would go once in a while. That's what they have
okay,
to expect.
Okay, Mike, let me ask you
that's
this.
All.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Yeah. Well, first of all, I've once again, I've said you're allowed to be a hump for one band and one band only. Is this your band?
Yeah, I getcha.
Okay, but is this your band? Is Pearl Jam your band?
Well, I grew up on like old school hip hop, but I love Pearl. I mean, Eddie Vedder. Once Garcia died, you know, I like reggae. I like all Eddie Vedder is great.
Not his band, I'd love to hear what
right.
is.
You can't be a hump for more than one band. You're allowed to be a hump. Okay, let me go to line three real quick. John, what's up, man? You're on Touch Your Rich. By the way, I like Mike. He seems all right.
Ugh.
I just love you. You're not a true fan.
So I got a question for you.
What's up, John?
I got two things.
Sure.
One, I got to call myself out. You guys had the douche contest with Toucher and Felger, so I got to call myself out on the douche factor. One is I got there. Show said it was going to start at 6:30. They didn't go on until almost 8 o'clock. I got a babysitter at home. I got to go and leave at noon at like midnight. I'm sitting there. Am I a douche for leaving early because I'm sitting there? I got to get home for the babysitter.
No, hell no. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Don't sound like a true fan to me.
All right, so I'm calling myself out. Like, I'm like the last guy, like a true fan. Like, you know, I guess I'm a true fan. I've liked them since, like, you know, ever. But I'm sitting here, and the guy's sitting there. You're going to the concert tonight. You got to hear a lot of what they played for forever. You got to hear, like, you know, the douchery songs from the last, like, 10 years. But you're going to hear some of the old stuff too, Rich.
Good.
You're going to have a good time. The thing I'm calling you out on is, so we were sitting in really good seats. I got the seats, like, in March when they first came out. So my wife and I went. We had a great time. We sat on the turf. These guys in front of us, sitting there with like their, you know, Vineyard Vine shirts, like full on Felger clones. And next thing you know, like, the guy's sitting there, and they're like, "Yeah, dude, I got my seats yesterday, like $500 a piece, awesome." Like completely, like, you know, drinking like Harpoon IPAs, like filling the mold. Halfway through the show, Release comes on. It's like a really critical part of the show. The guy gets down, sits down, and he starts doing his draft. Completely and totally crap on him, and they're like, "I can't believe this guy's doing this." Like there's people. I think we're like bringing four beers on these guys. $500 a ticket.
I gotta do it, man. Draft. I didn't realize Pearl Jam was gonna be the same night as my draft. I have to do it.
Well, just don't do it.
I have a signal, but just be prepared. Like, yeah, like you gotta get it.
Just don't do it at a critical point in the show.
Nick, you have your draft. Are you going tonight? And you have your draft? Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm not gonna be the only one drafting tonight. I guarantee you. The Tuesday night before, like the week of the first week of football, is a huge draft night. I guarantee you I'm not the only one.
I think you should just stay home and do your draft.
I want to see the band. Like, I mean, the set list sounds like it's a good set list. Like, I like the band Pearl Jam. I don't like the older stuff. It's fine. My wife likes it.
Throw on 10. Do your draft.
It's not the same. You're not a real fan. Be a real fan, like that guy Mike.
Whatever you do when you draft, just don't do it at a critical point.
Ever
in the
since
concert.
Garcia died, you know, it's all changed. You had to be a real fan of a real band. Boy, Fred was here when he just killed that guy. All right, 617-779-0985. Yeah, okay. So I'm the hump who's going to be doing my draft at the Pearl Jam show. I don't care. Like, why would I care? I just want to make sure I get a signal. Or am I screwed? I don't know. I have no idea.
I think you're
we'll
screwed.
See. All right, we'll get to that right after this.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and apparently the Pearl Jam police are coming after me. So, as I said, I didn't realize it was the same night, but I have my fantasy draft this evening, and I've got to do it during the Pearl Jam show. And I know that they start, according to the ticket, they start at 6:30. Did they go on it? Like that guy said, they go on at 8 instead? Okay, so they actually go on around 8 then. Okay, well, then that's okay. That's all right, because my draft is at 7:30. But either way, just being at a huge arena with tons of people, everyone's tweeting and taking pictures and stuff like that, like, am I completely screwed? And so we had somebody call in and say, and by the way, I said that I'm looking forward to going because it sounds like they're actually playing hits from the first three albums instead of playing songs for the new ones. And this guy said, "Well, you're not a true fan." And I said, "No, I'm not. I like the early stuff. The later stuff, you know, you can give or take. But I believe that there should be a rule that if you play a sports arena and you invite that many people to see your show, then you should play 80% hits. If it's a smaller place, maybe the size of the TD Garden, you can do whatever you want. That's kind of like a specialty show. Fine. You play new songs. You play, you know, rarities. I don't care. But if you're inviting that many people to see you, I think there's an obligation because the majority of those people want to see the hits. And all of a sudden, I had this guy call in and say that I wasn't a true fan, which I told him I wasn't. And he said that if somebody saw me drafting during the Pearl Jam show, true fans are going to give me the what for. And to that, I got a couple tweets. So one said, my favorite thing to do is to go to an event and not pay attention just to mess with, quote, true fans.
See, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, maybe now I want to go to the show tonight and just, like, really, really, like, make a big stink about my draft. Like, maybe
sure.
Maybe I just want to do that.
Just hold up my phone in everyone's face.
Yeah.
You know, while the band is playing, not paying attention.
Who should I take?
That's right.
What do you think, Kareem Hunt? What do you think?
Somebody said, you'll be fine. I drafted Gillette on my phone last year. Just wing it and stuff the queue. All right. Somebody said, I drafted at my wedding this weekend without my girlfriend knowing. So I'm telling you, I'm not going to be the only one there tonight who is going to be drafting. Tuesday night during this week is one of the biggest nights to do your draft, and I will not be the only one there, and I still have no idea whether I'm going to be screwed. Let's go to Danny on line one. Danny, what's up, man? You are on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, I drafted at work in that area a couple days ago. What you need to do is you need to get a mobile hotspot. It's worth it. It'll give you your own personal Wi-Fi connection. Then just to piss off the Pearl Jam people, you get your laptop, you set everything up in an obnoxious manner, and you just draft right there and then. And just make sure everyone knows about it while you're there.
Danny, are there any of those places around here, like the kiosks at the mall, where I can make a T-shirt? Because I want to make one for the show tonight that says, I'm drafting the team during your concert.
I think it's a good call. Go for it. You should definitely do it.
Who would kind of trigger Pearl Jam fans? Who would they think would be like a lame band?
Pearl Jam fans?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Who would be like a contemporary lame band?
Somebody who doesn't like baseball writers. Because apparently they all love Pearl Jam. Like, they're the new Springsteen. As I said, I like Pearl Jam, but they're the new Springsteen. Whereas all the old, like, the old school baseball writers all, like, yep, worship Springsteen and, like, tour around with them. Like, all kind of like the Young Bucks.
Yeah, the Theo Epstein's of the world.
Yeah, yeah. They're all about the
Young
Jam.
Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, it used to be batting average and Bruce Springsteen. Now it's, like, war and Pearl Jam.
By the way, I've seen Theo Epstein in the wild twice in the last, like 3 years. Like, he comes here and he, like, yeah, and both times he was wearing a Pearl Jam hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the dude likes to party. If you read that article,
he's a true fan.
He plays guitar till his finger bleeds, which of course doesn't happen because you develop calluses. That's why you don't see blood flying around a bunch of guitars. That is a line from Summer of 69 that doesn't happen unless you're playing your guitar the absolute wrong way and jamming your fingers sideways underneath the strings and pulling. That's how your fingers bleed playing guitar. Oh, man. These writers, they love some Pearl Jam. All right, so I'm going to make a shirt that says I'm drafting my fantasy team during this concert just to piss people off. All right, speaking of pissing people off, tomorrow or this Sunday is going to be awesome because you want to talk about angry folks on an issue that was all but dead at the end of last season. Oh, boy. Did Nike just say, you want some? Let's go pee on the anthill. We will get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.